You know, anyone can experience financial hardship at any time. We're hearing about it every day. Thankfully, God's promised to meet our needs, and He is always faithful. Still, what about our part? Preparing for lean times is not only common sense, it's backed up by God's Word in the Bible. So, what can you do to get ready? Financial planner and teacher Rob West has a list of things to help you get started, and we'll take your calls on anything financial at 800-525-7000. Jot it down, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. The 1 Week Financial Makeover, that's next right here on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, this topic always reminds me of that tiny creature in Proverbs 6. Go to the ant, consider her ways, and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest.
Yes, she does, Steve. And that's a great example of preparing for the worst. One of my favorites is in Genesis 41, when Joseph, as overseer for the Pharaoh, stored up grain. It reads, "And the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food." My family, actually, we've just been studying Genesis in our family devotions. Just read that last night.
Very apropos, and I think safe to say that God does want us to be prepared from these verses, and I know you have a 7-day plan to help us do just that. So where do we start?
Well, that's exactly right. Let me say first that these items are not complicated or difficult to do, and they won't take a lot of time. Plus, you only have to do one a day, hence the 7-day plan. So in a week, you'll have a great start on being prepared for a financial setback. So day one, here we go. Take 5 minutes to sign up for a personal finance newsletter or blog. Christian Credit Counselors has a great one about debt management and improving your finances in general. You'll find it at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Our friend Crystal Payne, she's a frequent contributor here at MoneyWise Live. She has a daily newsletter with money-saving tips and deals. You can sign up for that at moneysavingmom.com. And there's another great one at soundmindinvesting.org. And there is a small charge for that one, but what a wonderful resource, Sound Mind Investing.
Yeah, great information there. Okay, simple enough. What's next?
Day two is make a to-do list of 10 financial tasks you've been putting off. Some examples might include checking your credit score. If you have a credit card, your issuer probably offers this as a free service. And related to that, get your credit report from annualcreditreport.com. That's the place to go. You can get one from each of the three credit reporting bureaus each year for free. Another idea might be set up a high-interest savings account at an online bank, or get disability insurance if you don't have it, or just make out your will if you haven't done that. I want you to keep going until you have 10 items on your list.
Okay. What about day three here in our 1 week financial makeover? What's next?
Day three is all about doing something. So go back to that list I just had you prepared and pick one thing from the list and do it. That'll give you the satisfaction of crossing it off. Then make a commitment to do another item each week. You're much more likely to finish the list if you focus on just one item at a time.
Yeah, and I guess that falls under the heading of how do you eat an elephant?
Yes, exactly. One bite at a time. All right, day four. Here we go. Set up a system to track your spending. Now, if times are tough, and we realize a lot of you are in a really tight spot right now, especially because of what we're facing with COVID-19, you want to know where every dollar is going. You can do this manually with a small notebook where you literally write down everything you spend, or perhaps an Excel spreadsheet. The easiest way will be with an app like the soon-to-be-released MoneyWise app. That's a preview of coming attractions. We're kind of partial to that one, but there are other great ones out there that are available today. Bottom line is find what works for you and track your spending.
All right, great. And we are now, with just a little bit of time, we're up to day five.
Yeah, day five flows right out of day four. Once you're tracking your spending, you'll get an idea of how you can make your dollars stretch further. Try to identify one area a week where you can trim or cut back.
Okay. And what about day six? Do we have time to squeeze that in?
Yeah, you know, it's something we talk a lot about, Steve, and it's at the heart of financial preparedness for lean times, and that is work up your Mayday budget, where you prioritize your four essentials. And then day seven, assuming this is a Sunday, if that's the way it falls, take some time to reflect and meditate on God's financial principles. There's 2,300 of them in the Bible, so no shortage, and you'll be really encouraged, I'm sure.
Okay, we'll come back after the break and talk about day seven as we prepare for a financial makeover. This is Money Wise.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you ever tempted?
We're going to start this day of worship the right way. Now be quiet.
Tempted to say things you might not usually say.
Did you see that idiot? Where did he learn to drive?
Or treat the people you love pretty poorly.
Honey, could we stop at the store just for a minute so I can get a pair of knee highs?
Oh, anything for you, dear. We wouldn't want to actually get to church on time.
Maybe you want to do things you normally wouldn't do.
Hey, there's that slowpoke again. This ought to remind you how to drive, buddy.
Honey, aren't you getting a little too close?
Yeah, Dad. Leave him in the dust.
That ought to teach him a lesson.
You didn't have to cut him off.
Satan tries to attack us when our defenses are down. When you feel weakened by temptations, remember to ask yourself, what would Jesus do?
I can't believe we made it in one piece.
Good morning, Todd. Oh, hey, I want to introduce you to a family that's visiting us. Okay. These are the Conleys.
Hey, Dad, isn't that the idiot you cut off?
Jimmy.
Because you never know how your actions can change a life.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, great to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. And during this time in our country, well, in the world in reality, many people are experiencing financial hardship they had not planned for. And these kinds of things, Rob, as you know well, are much easier to handle. Not easy necessarily, but easier to handle if you have a bit of a surplus in your savings account. And in order to do that, you have to have a plan. And we're talking about a seven-day plan here, and we were just coming up on day seven. So what do you have for us?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned this one briefly, but I'll just mention it again because it is worth repeating. And that is that on the last day, whether that falls on a Sunday because you started on a Monday and you're finishing it out, or really any day, we want you to really meditate on God's financial principles. There are 2,300 verses in God's Word that speaks to money and possessions. And here's what's going to happen. When you reorient your thinking about money around God's perspective, beginning with God owning it all, beginning with the fact that money is a tool to be used, not as an end, but a means to an end, and it's to accomplish God's purposes in our life. And then we develop an eternal perspective about holding money loosely and living simply and being generous with others and not allowing money to compete with God for first position in our lives, and realizing that we can get ensnared by the things that money can buy if we're not careful, and greed can creep in, and not to mention comparison and the trap that is, when we compare ourselves to others. So I think really renewing our minds around His financial principles, which is why MoneyWise Live exists, so we can think about money from God's perspective, is so key. And it really is the starting point. And when you get to that place, then everything will change, because now every spending decision is a spiritual one, because you're allocating God's resources and you're doing it in line with His principles and priorities. Mm-hmm. So that's where we want you to finish the day. And if you don't know where to go to start that, pick up a book like Master Your Money from Ron Blue, or Your Money Counts from Howard Dayton, or The Stewardship Bible, which is on our website at moneywiselive.org, just with all these passages related to money highlighted in green. As you work your way through God's Word, you can just meditate on those. So I think that's a great way to finish out the week.
And if you're just beginning some sort of a spending plan or investment plan, or giving God control of your finances, whether you're at the very beginning or you're at the end or somewhere in the middle, obviously we want God's wisdom as we do this, because as Rob just mentioned, every financial decision is a spiritual decision. And obviously, Rob, during this crisis that the world is facing, including all of us here in the U.S., this is when we talk to God, or need to talk to God more than ever before, I would submit. And this would be a great day to do it, right?
Well, it sure would be. This is the National Day of Prayer. It's the first Thursday in May, coming right out of Habakkuk 2:4, which is the theme verse this year, the theme being praying God's glory across the earth. And, you know, earlier today, Steve, I actually read through the president's proclamation establishing today as the National Day of Prayer, and I was really encouraged by it. I'd encourage you to read through it. And I know there's going to be a national broadcast tonight with Rick Warren, yes, and Robert Morris, and Will Graham, and I think Andrew Palau, Michael W. Smith, and I believe it's airing on Moody Broadcasting, among other places, at 8 p.m. tonight.
Yeah, and that's something you might want to avail yourself of. Moody's been doing this for a number of years now, Moody Radio, and if you visit the website, easily found online, you might want to check that out. A nice way to spend part of the evening anyway with your family. Now, a nice way to spend the next hour might be with us right here at MoneyWise Live. You can do that by giving us a call. We have open lines. We have 1-2-3-4-5 open lines at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. Anything financial that you're wondering about, let's chat about it. Let's begin by going to Michigan. Hey, David, thanks for your patience, sir. How can we help you?
Okay, guys. I got a question for you today. It concerns my church. We had voted before the COVID-19 restrictions. We had voted as a church to purchase a van for outreach ministries that we've been developing, such as children's ministries and various other things. And we had voted to purchase a van. Then we got shut down with the COVID-19 thing and everything like that. We've been shut down for 2 months as a church. I kind of want to know, when we get back open as a church, what would you recommend for directions? How much do we lean on just saying, okay, it's the Lord's will, we voted to buy a van, let's buy a van, and how much do we step back and look at finances, kind of wait and see? We are here to reach people, and we want to do that, but we want to do it in a responsible way. And that's my question for you.
Well, it's a great question, David, and I think you're taking the right approach. You know, I wouldn't just automatically make that purchase because the vote was made prior to the new reality. I think as stewards of God's resources, whether that's the money that God has entrusted to you personally, or whether as a church body you've been entrusted with resources, making decisions on behalf of the church as a leadership team, we always need to say, based on what we know today, based on prayer, but based on also the financial realities, and now in light of the environment we're in with giving and entering into a recession, albeit one that might be short-lived, who knows? But the reality is we are in a recession. Given that, what decisions do we need to make? And I think in times like this, whether you are evaluating this personally or for your church, I think you have to consider all factors that you know at the time. We know more today than you knew when this vote was cast. And we want to look for opportunities to cut back in a way that's prudent and appropriate. And certainly capital spending would be one of the first things you would want to look at. So I would push the pause button and begin to evaluate trends, evaluate giving, evaluate your capital and cash reserves that you have on hand, and not make any decisions unless you and the leadership team feel like, in light of the new reality and the data you're seeing and the health of your financial status as a church, that it makes sense for you to proceed only based on really the need that exists and the financial means to do so. And apart from that, I think this would be a project you might want to delay.
Okay.
So, all right.
Yeah, so basically, we'll kind of look at things when we get back together and make a decision. And that's one of the reasons I'm calling you, is for good, knowledgeable answers. And I appreciate that. I thank you very much, sir.
You're very welcome, David. May the Lord bless you. We'll pray that He gives you all wisdom as you make these decisions.
Yeah, thanks
very
much. Thank you, David. You know, obviously sharing the gospel is one of the key reasons that we're even here on the planet. But then, you know, the Bible gives lots of other principles about being generous, about being prudent. God's word says there is wisdom in many counselors, also reminds us that the debtor is slave to the lender. So we have to look at all these principles prayerfully. Again, this is the National Day of Prayer. And in your body there, if everyone is praying with the same open heart and the same will to follow God in this, we think that His will be made apparent to you. And we wish you the best. Thank you very, very much. 800-525-7000. Molly is in Winfield, Illinois. And Molly, you're a professional makeup and hairstylist. Is that correct?
Hi, yes. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
So I have a question, kind of an ethical and moral question, as it relates to reporting taxes in my profession. So I do my taxes annually, and I report everything. But it's kind of common. Well, I don't know if it's too common, but I know a lot of hairstylists will take some family and friends as clients on the side, do the hair, you know, out of a professional salon setting or wherever it may be that they're working, and just kind of pocket that cash money for whatever it is, groceries, gas, whatever. And so that's something that I've been doing for a few years now, and it's starting to kind of catch up to me. I'm wondering if it's unethical, immoral, against, you know, Christian teachings, if it's something that I should kind of reconsider doing.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you asking the question, Molly, and the transparency with which you've done so. You know, I think that check in your spirit is something you should listen to. I would be the quick to say that we need to report all income that we bring in. And even if we're doing it in a little different context or perhaps for a different clientele, I think it's still income in the IRS's definition and therefore should be included in no matter how it's paid, whether it's cash or check. And it can be easy to get into that trap of just kind of developing some habits around certain payments that are made and just pocketing those and not reporting them. But I don't think that does align with the teaching of God's word. I think we want to be above reproach. We want to be honest and operate with integrity. I think the Lord will honor and bless that. And I think Jesus was very clear when he responded to the question that was brought to him, whose image is on this inscription?
Mm-hmm.
And he answered Caesar's. And then he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And I think we need to take that cue and pay what we owe, no more, but no less, on the full amount of the income we receive. And I would certainly lump in the situations you're describing.
Yeah, how's that's exactly what's been echoing in my mind. So thank you for just reinforcing that. I appreciate
you
it.
You are welcome. Yeah, I think that's perhaps the Holy Spirit just pricking your heart and saying, maybe you ought to think through this a bit more, and I appreciate you acting on that and calling today.
Molly, God bless you. Thank you very much. I think God is going to bless your honesty and your generous heart. Thank you very much for calling in today. And if you'd like to call in with a tough question like that one, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. He's Rob West, the one who needs a little taken off the side. I'm Steve Moore. We'll be right back.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can. When you discover the treasure principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the treasure principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Think up on your tiptoes today and realize that he's saying all of these things testify there is a God. There is a God, and you cannot be your own master. Now, I love this part of it. When he said he finds themselves engaging in self-criticism, I think we get that. We understand that about the conscience, that then it makes us, boy, we'll get down on ourselves about something, and the guilty conscience makes us react to that in self-criticism. But did you see the next one? Self-what? Say it again. All right, work with me here. When we get defensive, we are also testifying that in the inside of us, we fear we have broken a moral code. Our defensiveness, our need to be defensive, says there's a law we're being defensive to. Anybody working with me today? Now go there. I want that to sit on you for a second, because even the fact that we need to get defensive says that there is an inner turmoil, an inner war. He's saying all these things keep bearing witness to the fact that there is a God in heaven. And he created man, and he created him with a heart that he himself wrote upon. I just think it is profound.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with a quick word. Beth and the team are thankful for the grace gift to serve you. Your letters, prayers, and support are a vital part of this program. To request this month's thank you gift, text the word gift to 57682. Again, text GIFT to 57682. Or go to bethmoore.org/donate.
It's MoneyWise Live, finding God's plan for your financial life. If we can help you do that, we'd like to try. Otherwise, we should go for a walk or something. I don't know. 800-525-7000. It is a nice day for a walk, at least here in Georgia.
It's a beautiful day for a walk. I was just thinking that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else you were thinking?
I will ask for those of you who consider yourself a part of the MoneyWise Live community to think about this. Perhaps if you have more than you need to be a part of our team that supports this ministry. You know, there are many that are out there really struggling right now, and we're certainly not directing this to you. If you find yourself in this position, we want to serve you and support you. That's why we have free MoneyWise coaches. That's why we do this broadcast. We have resources at moneywiselive.org. Soon, we're going to have an app that will help you manage your money, and that's all what we want to do free of charge. But those who perhaps find themselves with a bit more than they need, God has blessed them, and they have a bit of excess beyond the giving to your local church, we would invite you to give to MoneyWise Media. This is brought to you each day only because of the generous support of the MoneyWise community. You can give safely and quickly online at moneywiselive.org. Just click the donate button, and we would love to hear from you in this season where we could certainly use your support now more than ever. This month and next, for a gift of $25 or more, you'll get the MoneyWise edition of the Financial Hope Bible Study. I think that'll be a real encouragement to you as we bring hope to you through God's Word around your money. And you'll see that when you visit our website, moneywiselive.org. And at no cost, we would like to invite you up to sign up for the brand new MoneyWise e-magazine. It's a quarterly publication designed to help you on your journey to financial freedom. The brand new first edition just came out, and if you head over to moneywiselive.org and click subscribe, put your name in, we won't sell your name ever, and there is no cost for the e-magazine. We'd love to send you the new edition.
And the issue's first, or the first issue's theme happens to be embracing financial hope, and this is something we worked on many months ago, and now we find that this today's topic, embracing financial hope, is very apropos for the times that we're in, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Again, you can find out more about who we are and what we do and the MoneyWise e-magazine when you visit moneywiselive.org. Cleveland, Ohio. Benjamin, what's your question today for Rob?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. It's a two-part question, I guess. So I work full-time, and my company gives me 401k. So I don't really have much knowledge in investing. So I didn't know where to start, and so I'm kind of need some source or somewhere a direction to help understand and learn about it. And the second part of the question is, I'm coming up on my emergency fund, so I'll be done with it maybe in like in a couple of months maybe. But I think I'm getting at 6 months of emergency fund saved.
Great.
So after that, maybe in a month or so, would this be a good time to start investing? I'm thinking of opening up an IRA, maybe.
Yeah. I love these questions, Benjamin.
I don't know if this is a good time.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Couple of thoughts on that. First, let's start with how you can begin to learn about investing. I want you to learn about investing, but I want you to do it with God's perspective in mind. And that's why when we're done here today, I want you to hold on the line and Judy will grab your information. We'll send you a copy complimentary of Austin Pryor's Sound Mind Investing Handbook. And I think this will begin to explain God's perspective on investing, but also the how-tos and mechanics of what you need to know. So work your way through that book. It'll be a real blessing to you. Number two, I would avail yourself of the information that your 401k provider will have for you about the specific investments in your plan. So as you're reading about investing in the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, you'll also have those investment options at the ready, so you can really begin to digest not only the principles, but how they relate to the specific investment options you have. I will tell you the simplest approach, if you just really don't understand what to choose, is probably what's going to be offered called an age-based portfolio, where the allocation is simply based on when you are expecting to retire, and they build the portfolio accordingly. That really takes a lot of the guesswork out of it. So check that out. And if you hold the line, when we come back, we'll get to your next question.
That's right. Thanks very much, Ben. Nicole, you're next. Stick around. This is MoneyWise Live.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
The Moody Radio Verse of the Week is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 15. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 15, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
Long for something good, true, and secure. There's a hunger for a hope that goes beyond politics and entertainment and reaches deep into our souls. That hunger can only be satisfied by Jesus. For more than 90 years, Moody Radio has faithfully delivered that message of hope to millions so they can take the next step in their walk with Christ.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Do you know if you have enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump is celebrating the National Day of Prayer ceremony in the White House Rose Garden with distinguished speakers. Vice President Pence and the First Lady will also be participating. The criminal case against President Trump's first National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn, will be dropped by the Justice Department. President Trump quickly celebrating that decision and said he hoped a big price would be paid by those who had brought it. The case was brought by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Prosecutors said General Flynn had tried to or had lied to the FBI about his conversations with the Russian ambassador in a January 2017 interview. Stocks were higher as Wall Street had its best gain of the week. The Dow gained 211 points today. The NASDAQ up 125 and the S&P 500 ahead 32. This is SRN News.
Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for listening. Please tell a friend about the program. If you enjoy it, they just might enjoy it as well. Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Nicole. How can we help?
Hi. I just had a quick question about 401ks. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a 401k from a previous employer, and I just get the statements quarterly. I just wanted to know with the new employer, should I just transfer it over there or should I cash it out? With the old employer, I had a Roth and a traditional. With the new employer, I just have a traditional.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, if you have a Roth IRA, you can do a Roth 401k. You can roll that into a Roth IRA. So you would want to keep it in a titled account, in the sense that the Roth function makes it after-tax dollars that's going in, as opposed to tax-deferred, where you get the deduction on the contribution. So you would only want to roll that Roth 401k to either another Roth 401k or a Roth IRA. And given that your new employer does not offer the Roth 401k option, you'd want to go directly to the Roth IRA, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome, Nicole. Thanks for calling. God bless you.
Thank you. Tampa Bay, Florida. Vanetta, thanks so much for your patience. How can we help you?
So I guess my question is, what would you do in my situation? I have $80,000 in student loan debt. I am all right financially, meaning I have savings. With my job, I have my 401k. I have one credit card. I don't have a lot of, debt like that. My car, I think I only owe $8,000. So my main debt is the student loan debt. And it's a situation where I'm a single woman and I'm not even making not even a fraction of money to justify even have gone out and gotten this expensive degree. Yeah. So it's almost kind of turned into like a double-edged sword, like almost like a curse, because it's really hurting my debt to income. And I want to get a house, but I'm paying student loan debt, if that makes sense. So a lot of times I'm getting discouraged because I feel like I'm in bondage to the student loan debt, and it's like dictating my entire life. So that's my question.
Yeah. Well, Vonetta, I can certainly appreciate where you're coming from. And, this is just such a growing challenge for so many because of the rising cost of higher education, which continues to increase, outpacing inflation, and these expensive degrees that don't often lead to jobs that can support them. And I think that's why we have to be so careful to only take on debt with a honest evaluation of the job that will result from it and whether or not the debt can be serviced or whether we need to take an entirely different approach. And, you know, obviously at this point you've got it. And so I think, you know, with any decisions that we've made in our financial life, especially those that result in debt, we've got to learn from them. We've got to embrace our role as steward, recognizing God owns it all, and leave it all at the foot of the cross and operate by God's principles moving forward in all the decisions you make with the resources he's entrusted to you. The debt is here, so we need to get rid of it as quick as we can. And that may mean, as a result of this, that you've got to delay that home purchase. And that's okay, Vonetta. You know, renting longer because you want to spend time trying to dramatically reduce this debt, even though you're not building home equity, I wouldn't worry about that or lose sleep over that. I think what's most important is that you have a solid financial foundation under you. So it's going to go back to the basics, and this is not going to be rocket science to you, but I'll just remind you of the fact that really the starting point is to understand God's way of handling money, but then quickly get to that spending plan. And you're going to need to continue to be very diligent about keeping your lifestyle in check, keeping your spending at a minimum, because what we need right now is margin for you to send extra to this student loan debt over and above the minimum payments to the best of your ability, assuming you don't have any credit card debt, which it doesn't sound like you do, and assuming you have your emergency fund in place, meaning at least 3 months' expenses in a liquid savings account for the unexpected. And if you have both of those, then I'd really focus all of your extra money, you know, that which you have today, and perhaps additional funds you could free up by even cutting back further toward debt reduction, and just try to get this going in the right direction. And then there will be time later to begin thinking about saving for a down payment on a house. But I think the extent to which you can really prioritize getting this paid down sooner rather than later will be a real blessing to you in the days ahead.
Does that make sense?
Thank you. It does. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Vonetta. God bless you.
Yeah, since you're discouraged, let me just pray for you before we let you go here, Vonetta. And Lord, we just lift Vonetta up to you. Lord, it's clear by her call today, her heart's desire is to honor you, to be found faithful in what you've entrusted to her. She's discouraged by the debt that she has and even used the word bondage. And Lord, we know that in Christ we're free and we can leave all of our prior decisions at the foot of the cross. So we just trust you as her provider and ask that you'd bring that provision that she would be able to not only cover her expenses, save for the future and give generously, but to eradicate this debt once and for all. So encourage her today, walk with her, give her wisdom and counsel as she makes decisions. And we just pray for protection and provision over her life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Vonetta, again, we appreciate your call today and we wish you the very best. And Rob, obviously these days there are lots of people who are chagrined, who are depressed, who are worried, who are wondering, how am I going to make that next house payment or car payment? I mean, this is a unique time in my lifetime and perhaps for most of our people listening. So what's your encouragement for those who are really struggling? There are spouses that aren't agreeing on things and plans that are having to be put on hold. And just where is God in all this?
Yeah, well, God is our rock and our strength and our provider and sustainer, and we need to see it that way. You know, when our world is shaken, it draws us back. I was just reading last night in Exodus when Pharaoh, you know, when the things were tough and the plagues were visible, he was willing to come into line with what God was saying. And as soon as things were taken off, his heart was hardened. And we can't get in that situation. We've got to trust God in every situation. Now's a time to lean into God's grace and his mercy. He will provide for you. And we've got to take advantage of the opportunities in front of us, meaning what are we doing with what God is entrusted to us? Are we making the hard decisions and cutting back? Are we availing ourselves of what's there? You know, the government is doing its part. You may need to call on your church in a difficult season to perhaps provide some resources to fill and close the gap. Whatever it is, just start on your knees, acquaint yourself with these principles we talk about from God's Word. Perhaps turn down the noise of this word, if that's world, if that's causing you to become discouraged. And really meditate on God's Word, and I think that will lift your spirits and allow you to see perhaps that He will guide and direct you every step of the way. It's not easy, Steve. These are challenging times for so many, and yet God is near.
That's right. And it's not a radio program. It's not a radio preacher. It's not something it's nothing earthly that ultimately is going to sustain you. It's the impact of the Bible, of God's Word, which is not only type on paper, but there's something supernatural that happens in our spirit when we reflect on what He says. For instance, Philippians 4:7, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Let that sink in and then ask God to help you. We'll be right back with more Money Wise Live.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. As I was checking in at the airport this morning, the SkyCap recognized me and asked if there was a key to the success of my business. I immediately said, trusting God with my whole heart and allowing Him to direct my steps and rescue me from all my problems, according to Proverbs 3:5. He responded, then that's what I'm going to do because I'm starting a business. We laughed. I said, God bless you. And I walked away knowing I just moved that SkyCap closer to God. In addition, however, a policeman was standing right beside us listening intently to every word. So she was moved closer to God as well. And that's what you call a twofer. Two for the price of one. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, Rob West here. Stories can be a powerful way to motivate people. If you've been helped by listening to MoneyWise Live, sharing your story will encourage others to follow God's financial principles and help free them to serve the Lord more fully. I want to ask you to consider leaving a testimony after the program by calling 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Thanks, and God bless you.
This is Ann Graham Lotz with Daily Light for Daily Living. One of the most sobering signs pointing to His return that Jesus gave in the spiritual realm was from Matthew 24:9. You will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death and be hated by all nations because of Me. Persecution of Christians has increased dramatically in the last 2 decades. Christians in Syria have been crucified. Christians in Nigeria shot, raped, enslaved. Persecution of Christians is a long nightmare in North Korea, an increasing occurrence in India and China. Anti-Semitism also is on the rise. Jews are being physically attacked in various parts of the world. Verbal assaults are common. Nazi swastikas appear on the walls of college campuses. Listen to me. The signs Jesus gave in the spiritual realm are being fulfilled and point to His imminent return. Make sure you know what time it is. Then live your life accordingly. Jesus is coming. This is Ann Graham Lodz.
Hey, we're blessed to have you with us today. Thanks so much for tuning in. We know there are lots of radio stations on that dial, but you have your dial set to this station, and thanks very much for that. Let's continue on. Sunrise, Florida. Leslie, I understand you want to go swimming. Is that the situation?
Yes, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I want to tell you guys I listen to Rob and Steve all the time. I listen to you guys all the time. But I have, I guess, 2 questions. One is, we would like to get a pool at the house. So my first question is pulling the money that I have out of the stock market to put into my home a good idea? And then the second question is, then how do I, if it is a good idea, then how do I go about doing that? Because installing a pool, which is what we want to do, it takes over like 4 months to get it installed, and the payments are in installation, so I don't have to pull the whole thing out and just let it sit, or what should I do?
Yeah.
I just want to be wise.
Sure. A couple of thoughts, and I'm glad to hear you're in South Florida. It's a lot cheaper to put a pool in down there than it is in other parts of the country. Nevertheless, still an expensive proposition overall. You know, I think the first issue is if this money was invested in stocks, assuming it was not in a retirement account, we'll get to that in a second.
It's not.
Okay. Then the challenge is if it was fully invested, then you're theoretically pulling it out at levels considerably lower than they were, you know, 6 or 8 weeks ago, just because of the drop we've seen in the stock market. Now, we recovered quite a bit, but we're still down significantly from the levels we were at in the middle of February. So I realize the timing is such that you said it may happen over the next 4 months, but what I would hate to see is you pull this money out of the market while the market's down 20%, and you may start into the pool, and we may go down another leg here if for some reason something doesn't materialize the way we want with COVID-19 and the treatments and the vaccine and how well it's going reopening our economy and whether some states have to return to sheltering in place. This market could certainly have another leg down if this recession were to become deeper or more prolonged. And so that's not a time when you want to be pulling money out of stocks. I think the second thing is, what was the purpose of this money? And separate from it, do you have money that you're saving for the long term for retirement? Do you have an emergency fund? And is your debt under control? Give me a sense of those things real quick.
Yes, we don't have any debt. And our we do have liquid money. If my husband and I lose our job, so we do have the 3 to 6 months, and the stock money was just extra money we have. It's separate from our 401k. It's just something that we put a little money in there to see if it grows, and it did grow, and it has grown. At least enough to cover the pool.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and so you may decide specifically for that reason that despite this pullback in the market, you had put it aside for this reason. You enjoyed the appreciation that came over the last 11 years or whatever portion of it you were invested in the market while this account has been rising. It served its purpose. The timing isn't ideal. Ideally, we would have taken it all out in February, but we didn't know what we didn't know, right? And so therefore, you may decide we want to press on because our financial house is in order. This is money we have that's extra. We'd like a pool, and now's the time to do it. So I think the only consideration is, based on what I'm hearing, no red flags. It's just, do you want to start that project now, given that it's probably, you know, not going to be done until the fall, although in South Florida you can just about swim year-round, or do you want to wait and see if this market recovers over the balance of the year, which, again, that starts to get into market timing, and that's a losing proposition because there's just as good a chance that the market is lower than it is today when we get to the end of the year than it is higher. So I'm a little hesitant to do that. So you'd almost have to say we're going to be willing to delay this 1 to 2 years. If not, I think you just press on and recognize you had the money for this purpose and you're going to build a pool and enjoy it. And by the way, increase the value of your home at the same time.
Right. Okay, well, that's great advice. Thank you so much. I think we still have to pray a little about it.
Good. Well, I would recommend you do that. Make sure you're on the same page before you make a major purchase like this. But if this is the way the Lord leads, then you enjoy that.
Leslie, thank you very much. All right. God bless. That's a good thing to pray about before you jump in the deep end. Okay. Merrillville. Oh, man. Come on. Merrillville, Indiana. Hello, Marie. What's your question for Rob West? Hi.
Thank you for taking my call today. My question is, I am a single mom, stay-at-home mom with a disabled child. My income is not that great, but God provides. I want to be able to know how do I make it meet, and I want to be able to invest in something and, you know, see a return or something. Because every month when it comes, I panic. You know, what I'm going to do, I don't have no return. I don't have any investment. I don't have this, I don't have that. But I want to be able to know which way to go, because right now I don't know which way to go.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of pieces here, Marie, and I think what might be the best thing for you to do, I'll give you some of my thoughts, but once we're done here, is for you to connect with one of our MoneyWise coaches. You just go to MoneyWiseLive.org, click on Connect with a Coach. It may take 30 days for you just because of the waiting list, but we'll get you connected to somebody who can really help you think through all this. But really, it starts with you learning God's way of handling money, and when we're done here, I'd like to send you a copy of Howard Dayton's book, Your Money Counts, to get you started on that. Beyond that, we really need to begin to think and pray about your goals. And I think that's a matter of you prayerfully asking the Lord, Lord, what should I be pursuing in terms of my goals? Not only with my lifestyle, what should I be spending day to day, month to month, but what are those goals that you want me to be saving for in the future? What about the longer term when you're no longer working, retirement? What about your college education? Is there a short or a medium term spending goal that you have to be able to take a vacation or you know, replace a car without taking on debt, things like that? And once you have those goals, then it's a function of saying, okay, we need to make sure we control our spending so that we free up margin to be able to fund the goals. An early goal, if you have credit card debt, would be to eradicate that credit card debt, or right alongside that to build up your emergency fund. Now, that's a fund of 3 to 6 months' expenses that's liquid. You're not going to receive a return on that. It's not intended to generate a return. It's intended to be safe and liquid so you can get to it when you need it in the event of the unexpected. And as you and I know, the unexpected always comes. But once that's in place, and I realize that's not as simple as it sounds, and it's going to take hard work, and you got to get the budget, and you got to work it, and when things come out of left field, we got to deal with it. But once we've got those big rocks in place, then we can start thinking about, okay, now we want to put some money into our 401k, or I want to start an IRA and make a systematic contribution toward the long term. And that's going to be invested. And even though there's going to be bumps in the road like we're experiencing right now, over the long term, it's going to do well. You might earn 9 or 10% a year on that on average. That's at least what we've seen historically if it's invested properly. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all got to be done in the context of a plan that makes sense for you, realizing it's hard work, but realizing God will provide his wisdom through the Bible every step of the way. But I realize I threw a lot at you there. What questions do you have?
My question is, I'm interested in what you're saying, because I worry about that kind of thing, because I'm getting up in my years and I need to have something, you know, to fall back on, to look forward to. I have changed a lot spending habits, because you know, I've been praying a lot, and God has shown me you got to slow down. You only buy what you need, not what you want, you know. Right. But still, you know, give God what is God's, like he said. Yes. But I need what you just said. I need someone to help me to see it to keep me accountable and stick to it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Do you have a retirement plan available to you at work?
No.
You don't. Okay. All right. So then the first thing you could do would be to open an IRA, and that would get you started. You'd probably want to do either a traditional or a Roth IRA. But let's start with the MoneyWise coach. Go to MoneyWiseLive.org, click on Connect with a Coach, and let them begin to help you get these pieces in place. Once you do, call us back if you have questions, and we can talk about where you go from here.
Okay, Marie, does that make sense?
Thank you so very much. Oh, yes. Right. I feel a lot better now.
All right, so it's MoneyWiseLive.org, and then connect with a coach, and then if you have any further questions down the road, feel free to get back to us. But they do wonderful work, and I think they'll be able to help you greatly, and we appreciate your phone call today. Thanks very, very much. And Rob, here's a quick one for you, a quick email. It's from Connie. She says, we have $8,000 in high-interest credit card debt. We want to do a debt consolidation, but don't know what firm or what company to use. What do you suggest? Any thoughts?
Well, Connie, I'm not a big fan of debt consolidation. If that means you're going to take out a new loan to replace the existing loan, that's going to be perhaps a longer term, even though it's a lower interest rate. The problem is that breeds you not fixing the problem that led to the debt in the first place, because the pressure comes off and a lifestyle of overspending and excess consumption is going to allow the credit card debt to return, except now we're going to have the consolidation loan on top of it. So I'd rather you use a debt management program where we don't replace the debt. We leave it there. We close the account. We get the interest rate down and we pay it off 80% faster. That's going to happen with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They'd be delighted to walk alongside you and explain everything you need to know, and I'd go there next.
All right. And if you'd like to send a brief email to Rob, keep it brief, just a couple of lines if you want to hear it read on the air. The address is questions@moneywise.org, questions@moneywise.org. And don't forget, moneywise.org is also where you can go if you'd like to sign up for the brand new MoneyWise e-magazine. It's absolutely free, MoneyWise or moneywise.org. And MoneyWise, this is a partnership right here between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. My thanks to Judy and Gabby and Courtney and Rich for their technical expertise. Join us again tomorrow.